Our speaker for this evening is Pastor E. Mylon Hall, who is pastor of the Pennelwood Church of God in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I'm sure you realize in your association with him, as I do, that he is a man of God and a man with a message from the Lord, speaking to us this evening on the topic, the highest calling to Christ. And so we pray the Lord's blessing on Brother Hall as he speaks to us this evening.
Before we begin, we'd like to maybe complete Brother Burnett's comment. I don't know why he stopped when he did in talking about relationships. Probably because he's my brother-in-law, and what I want to say is his wife is my sister. And at least I'm proud of it, and I wanted to add that little bit. May we bow in prayer. Unto thee, our Heavenly Father, we bow our heads. We pray by the Spirit of Christ we may bow our hearts, our lives before thee, acknowledging that we are worthless without thy blessing, without the Spirit and the conviction of Christ dwelling within us. We pray then that we may each be holy and pure in thy sight this moment, that as we would look to thy word, we may be spiritually fed. Bless, Father, that these lips may be instruments in thy hand this night. In Jesus' name, amen. If Brother Graham fulfilled his respective duty tonight, you each have an invitation. We'd like to have you look at it a moment. Our subject, in keeping with our general conference theme, the highest calling to Christ. Well, a calling is an invitation. And so we thought it might be well if we had an invitation, that we might realize the practical principle that we all are invited by our Lord Jesus Christ into a fellowship like this world can never present. It's a personal invitation to each and every one of us. Usually when we receive an invitation, we glance first to see who signed it, to see who sent it, who cared. And we note that this invitation is signed, as it were, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we glance at the message, the sender being a friend of ours. The message is important. Jesus is saying to us, come unto me. This, we are invited to Jesus. Come unto me, all, every one of us, that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's an invitation, but it turns to be the greatest promise that we can ever know, that the Son of God has promised to give us life. For he continues in his reasoning, for I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This is the highest calling. Acknowledging the giver, or the extender of such an invitation, our hearts must be thrilled that this Son of God has invited us to such a gift. But recognizing that tonight many or most of us have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe this is old news. Maybe it's an old invitation. But if by any measure of our reasoning we would call this an old invitation and file it in the corner in the square or round file, then we had better consider afresh the implication thus involved. For to disregard the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ is to sever ourselves from life or of any hope of life. For the invitation is a continued invitation that we can never deny. For it is that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And there isn't one of us that can say, I have it. I'm through with the more abundance in Jesus Christ. And so this blessed invitation is one that we must cherish and that must grow in our esteem daily. The invitation of life in Jesus. Certainly, the invitation is from death to life. Therefore, it is very timely, for it is from sin to righteousness. And all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And there isn't one can say, I have no sin. And so the invitation is from death to life, to the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so again, this invitation must be that of a thrill constantly in our realization of its meaning and the implication to our standing before God. We also note that this invitation is sealed by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, by the authority of God Himself. Not just a passing fancy, but a program of eternity by the Creator of all things, Jehovah God. And so it is nothing to be belittled, to be measured lightly, or to be thought on little, but to be delved into the depth of our very being, to the exercise of every bit of our mentality, and the consecration of our whole being. There isn't a slip of paper, there isn't a message, there isn't a word in this whole wide world that should affect us more than this little invitation of Jesus Christ. And yet we'll all have to admit that we have been moved, swayed, we have been altered in our thinking and reasoning many times by other things that have taken our mind and our attention, our emotions, our appetites, our desires. We can readily see the necessity of the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ being renewed in our own conviction daily. And so the Spirit of God, the power of God, sealing us by this invitation as we accept it. Often on invitation, these little words that appear on this RSVP appear. We tried to find a French student that would help us pronounce a word, and there are probably some here that could pronounce it, so we won't even try. But the R stands for R-E-P-O-N-D-E-Z. You pronounce it. The others are for civil play, as they say it, or if you please, to the effect of respond, please, or please reply. The invitation of Jesus Christ has these letters firmly attached, in bold print that none can miss. For it is an invitation just to say, well, that's nice, but it's an invitation to say, come unto me and give your whole life. for nothing, nothing less is acceptable. We cannot just know about this invitation and have its full meaning acceptable to us. We cannot just know about the Lord Jesus Christ, but we must know Him personally. Having accepted all that He can mean to us today, for He is life only as we know Him as the signer and sealer of our lives. To respond to this invitation, to acknowledge that we want this invitation, and that we would accept it with all of our hearts, means first that we repent. It means that we're ready to make a change. We're ready for this invitation to make a change in our plans. We receive an invitation, it's asking for our time, effort, energy, or something to that effect. Not just one affair this invitation is given for, but it's given for all eternity. And as we accept it personally, we must recognize, God does, we must recognize that it necessitates a change. We've got to be changed, for we're not fit to say, I'll accept it just as I am, and I'll live in it just as I am. We have to change. If we're going to go into the wedding, we have to have on a wedding garment. We have to be dressed acceptably before the Father. We read in Acts, the second chapter, in the 41st verse, that then they that gladly received His word were baptized. Peter had said, repent and be baptized. The fact that he baptized them, they repented. When we receive the invitation, we too must repent in heart. Determine an alteration has to take place in our mental capacity, in our devotion, in our lives. And then we signify this alteration by being buried with the Lord Jesus Christ. This invitation, as it comes, as it were, from the hand of God, is a holy invitation. Now, it may be that these words don't mean too much to us. A holy invitation. It's not man-made to any degree, in any phase or part. It comes from God. It's of His making. He devised it. He brought it into being. He presented from His own love the plan of salvation and the invitation as Jesus has extended it to us. For He spoke not His own will, but the will of God He sent Him. And so this invitation, as we read in 2 Timothy 1:9, God hath saved us and called us with an holy calling that we cannot ignore if we would be God's children. Turning to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, we are invited to receive the holy calling, which is the glory of Jesus. Now, we stop to ponder the Son of God, and our hearts overflow with wonder and ponder. The Son of God, who received the Holy Spirit without measure, who ascended at the right hand of God and is glorified according to Gospel's writings. And we receive, we're invited to receive the glory of Jesus. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter and verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to obtain of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is no small matter. It isn't something we can cast aside and say yes sometime. But it's the glory of God's Son that is presented to us. And we slap God in the face every time we belittle this invitation. As it were, we could be in that throng and spit in the face of Jesus as we are reminded of this invitation and it does nothing to us. We're expected to be moved emotionally by the gift of the Son of God, by the invitation to have the full meaning of the Son of God implanted within us. And we are given, as it were, the glory of the Son of God, the holy calling. In 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, this glory of Christ truly is the glory of God's kingdom and the glory of God. In the second chapter, in the 12th verse, that ye walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and unto his glory. Think, the glory of God. This is the invitation to the glory of God. Oh, what a glory there is there. Paul tells us, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, our hearts just overswell with the meaning as our minds reach, trying to comprehend something of the glory of God. Even as the writers in the prophetic word seem to utterly fail for words and expression to put down in black and white that we might understand something of this glory of God. For the angels are continually praising his name. But this is the invitation to you and to me. A highest calling? There's nothing higher. It's impossible to find any esteem or position to which we can reach or aspire than to the glory of Jehovah as it is offered to us in the simple invitation, come unto me. And when we ask, when we yield to this invitation, the blessedness is this. We recognize that we are unfit to stand in the presence of God, but he has promised to condition us to do everything and anything possible to make us his child. All we do is take that step toward him and say, yes, I want the Lord Jesus Christ. I want the Son of God for my Savior. For it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We just indicate a desire accordingly. And so the invitation is given. As it comes to us, we know that he'll prepare us. He'll dress us. He'll condition us mentally, physically, in every way possible. And then he'll send the carriage to pick us up. And he'll draw us unto himself. But the blessedness is, once we have made this step in accepting this invitation, we've repented and we've been baptized, then he continually reaches to us through the inspiration of this invitation to keep us conditioned, to keep us prepared at any moment to dwell in his presence. But this invitation, signed by, as it were, the blood of Jesus, becomes even more personal. In Luke, the 6th chapter, we won't take time. Yes, we will too. Our music was excellent, and we're glad they took the time, and we would like to too, if you pardon us, please. But in Luke, the 6th chapter, in verse 35, Jesus said, but love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. You know, think of it. The invitation from Jesus to be the children of the highest. Talk about highest calling, there it is. And when we aspire to be important people, here it is, the invitation to the very highest. And then it goes even more personally, for we're told, Jesus said, Paul also brings out, if ye suffer, ye shall also reign with him. You deny him, he also will deny you. But to reign with Christ. You know, an invitation given to us to be a guest at some undertaking of man, we may be ushered in to the highest personage and introduced to them. But here, we're invited to be the chief guest into the household of God, married to his son. We cannot get more personal than this, nor higher than this, in our esteem, in our ambition, in our desires. When we accept the invitation, the highest calling, we must live this calling. But ironically, and turn with me to Matthew, the 20th chapter, ironically, as we aspire to the heights of God's invitation, we live it today in the lowest form of man, as it were. For Jesus said in Matthew 20:27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Now, this doesn't sound like the highest calling. Let him be your servant. But this is the plan of God. This is God's way. Back over in the 18th chapter of Matthew in the 4th verse, whosoever therefore will humble himself as this little child, the same shall be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There it is. Before we can become great, we must be humble. Humility comes first. And as we would accept this invitation, we must accept it even as Jesus, our Lord and Master, and yield ourselves to him. For Jesus must be our Lord. Jesus must hold full sway over us as our owner, as our controller, as Jesus personally invites us to reach and to physical, spiritual, and mental heights that we've never known before. We must let him be our Lord. For in Ephesians, the 1st chapter and the 22nd verse, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. This is Christ. So as we hear this invitation, as we would heed it, we say, this is for me. I want to rise to those heights. I want to sit with Christ on his throne. I want to have the highest of all positions. Then we accept it today in the bowing of our head in our humility before God and in our submissiveness to him. And even as Christ said, not my will but thine be done, ours must be the same thing. Aspiring to heights, but living in the humility of Jesus Christ today. Even then, as we would aspire to these heights, turn with me back to Revelation 22. For if some may say, well, he's not quite reading that verse right. Revelation 22. I'll wait a moment while you turn to it. Because I'd like to have you look with me at something that hit me right between the eyes. I've read it over and over. But it suddenly jarred me to realize that as I would aspire to my Lord Jesus Christ, as God would be my Heavenly Father, and I would accept such an invitation, I am obligated. I'm obligated to open my mouth and let others know what this invitation means to me. Revelation 22, here we read verses 16 and 17.
I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. If this invitation is to mean anything to me, I hear it, and I must open my mouth and say, come, right along with the Spirit and Jesus Christ. We are obligated, if we hear the invitation, if we would accept the invitation, to carry that invitation to others. Never have we the right to say, I've accepted it, he's mine, and I'm going to be in that glory land someday. For we must be busy about our Father's work, as with our Lord Jesus Christ, in the greatest humility of service that we've ever known. Saying, not my will, but thine be done, O Father in heaven, work in me both the will and to do of your good pleasure. Open my eyes to the service before me. Open my eyes to the needs around me. Open my eyes to the needs of living Christ before my family, before my own church fellows, before my community, that I might speak and my words may bear weight because they see the Christ in me. And then finally, may we determine with the Apostle Paul, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Aspiring to that mark, reaching to that mark, keeping it always before us. But God has given to us many practical, physical means whereby we can be stirred and remembered. Possibly we could use these invitations, tacked on a mirror, something, just to remind us that this invitation must be the most important thing in our life. May we pray. Oh, Father in heaven, through Jesus Christ, hear our prayer. For oft times we have closed our mind and our eyes and our lives to that precious high calling in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, sway us and move us by thy word, by thy holy power, that we may have our sense of values adjusted, that we may think true, that Jesus and his call to us is more important than any other relationship, any other word, any other thought, or determination on our part. Bless us then to continually say yes, and let Jesus reign and rule within us today. In his name we pray. Amen.